we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it is my privilege to spend the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And we pray that you are having a great day, that this is a glorious day that the Lord has made. And we look forward to studying the fruit of the Spirit today, the fruit of the Spirit being peace that we are discussing, and looking forward to another great weekend of worship together at Merritt Assembly of God. Today, I want to take you to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, this is after Jesus has been crucified and he has been risen from the dead. And people have been talking about everything that God had done, and yet there were still some that were a little bewildered and a little confused and doubting. And so verse number 36 of Luke 24 says, "Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be to you,'" or "peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.'" Today we are going to be talking about the divine provision of the peace that Jesus has provided for us. And just because it has been declared, just because it has been pronounced, does not mean that the enemy is not going to try and derail that shipment of provision. Jesus stood and said, "Peace to you." Now, I just have this understanding of the authority of God, that when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, that it happened just as God intended it to be. And so when he says, "Peace be to you," I expect that he intends for peace to come to the disciples. Now, I will tell you, being a disciple, you are entitled to God's peace. It is part of his provision. God does not have you following him so that there is anxiety ruling and reigning in your heart. He wants the peace of God to rule and reign in your heart. So today, I want to encourage you to step up and say, "God, I will allow the provision of peace that you have for me to be the controlling interest in my emotions." That's what I encourage you to do. But immediately upon the pronouncement, because the disciples had never seen anything like this before, never heard of anything like this happening before, had never really allowed themselves to embrace fully what Jesus meant when he said he was going to rise from the dead, that instead of peace, they began to manifest terror. They were frightened, and they thought that they were seeing a spirit. They did not realize that that Jesus was tangibly present right there in their midst. So today, let me begin by asking you this question. When God has declared peace over you, do you make room for that peace, or does terror and fear try to rationalize away the divine provision of God? We're going to talk a little bit more about the peace of God. It is a residing peace. It is a gift, but it abides. It doesn't go anyplace. Let me just read the verse for you. John chapter 14, verse number 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's peace is a peace that is greater than any problem, greater than any trial, greater than any trouble. And he says, it's not a peace that is manufactured in your emotions. It is my peace that I have custom gifted to you. And I leave it with you. My peace I leave with you. How about that residing peace? You see, terror and fear cannot stay where there is perfect peace. Not only did the enemy try and bring negative emotions and mindsets to where God wanted the peace of his kingdom to reside, but it caused them to doubt the substance of what they were seeing. I'm very thankful that God is a substantial God. He's not superficial. There are so many people, they just deal on the tangents of Christianity. They just barely scratch the surface. They're content with just having their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they said, that's enough for me. Not realizing that God wants us to understand the depth, the length, the height, and the breadth of the love of God. That he wants us to be of reputation like the disciples, that we are the ones who have turned the world from their perspective upside down, from God's perspective right side up. And now God has brought them to our city. Whatever you are going through today, do not doubt the reality of God's presence in your life. Do not doubt that he is right there with you. The Bible promises that when you go through the fire, he's there. When you go through the flood, he is there. When you go through good seasons, he's there. When you go through challenging seasons, he is there. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And he said, all of a sudden, doubts began to arise. When God gives you peace, it will build your faith. When we displace God's peace with fear, when we displace God's peace with a failure to understand the substantial presence of God, doubts begin to arise. And I will tell you that in times of my life, that there were times where I vacillated between action and inaction. Between thinking that God wanted me to do something and then talking myself out of what God. And I will tell you this, there's one time in particular where I was going to the altar for prayer. And I was up and down, up and down, up and down. I got out of my seat to go and then I sat down. I got up and I sat down. I got up and I sat down and I said, you know what? I'm going. I ended up being the last person that responded to the altar call that night. And if I had given in to my doubts instead of if I had allowed my doubts to hinder my response, I would have deprived myself of one of the greatest seasons of my life in the presence of God. I can still remember it today, even though it was 40 years ago. Don't let doubt rule. Let the faith of God rise up. Jesus said, look, I'm here. I'm in your presence. I am here. Do you have anything to eat? Let me prove it to you by giving me something to eat. And he went on to minister to the disciples. So today I want to let you know that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a believer in his teachings, that he has a peace for you that this world cannot give. That just like I said in John chapter 14, it is a peace that resides. It is Jesus' gift to you. And so this is about the time of year where people start asking other people, what would you like me to get you for Christmas? What would you like to, for me to get you for Christmas? Can I tell you that the greatest gifts that I've ever received for Christmas were gifts that were birthed in the hearts of others that wanted to bless me beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. I come from a family where it's very hard to surprise the men, but the older I get, the more surprised I have become. And so I challenge you to say, God, you know what? The peace that you want to give to me is a gift that is second to none. It is a greatly appreciated gift, a gift that is going to benefit me greatly. The peace that God gives you will cause your heart not to be troubled, and it will banish fear from your life. Perfect love casts out fear. Do you realize that the Bible said that in the last days, people's hearts would fail them for fear? There is a God-given solution for that issue in your life and in my life, and that is the peace of God that rules with such great power in our life that trouble cannot reach our heart. It will not be able to accomplish its task. You see, it's quite simple. The devil wants you dead. The sooner the better. You see, if you're dead in your trespasses and sin and you die, there's no hope for you to be saved. If you are dead in your trespasses and sin, there is not any hope that you are going to be born again, radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and lead a fruitful life that is going to plunder the kingdom of darkness. So please understand that he wants you dead. If you are living for the glory of God, he wants you dead to minimize the effect that you have upon the kingdom of darkness. It's just a simple understanding. When you realize that the devil wants you dead, but God wants you alive, I encourage you to allow God to provide you the peace that says this, that just as David did not die until he had fulfilled the purposes of God in his life, that when you are walking in faithful obedience to God and the peace of God is ruling and reigning in your heart and life, that you will not die, I will not die until we have fulfilled the purposes of God in our lives. And that's the truth. John chapter 16, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So these things I have spoken to you. You cannot overlook the importance of that phrase. That was John chapter 16, verse number 33, because it tells us the importance of God's word. There is a great deal of biblical illiteracy in modern American Christianity. There are people who are basing their theological persuasions upon contemporary mindsets rather than on the eternal principles of God's word. You have to know what Jesus said. You've got to know what God says. And when God says it, if all of society denies it, the scripture says this, let God be true and every man a liar. You have to elevate the word of God the way that God has. And so one of the strategies of the enemy is to keep you ignorant of the word of God. Do you realize that there is a solution to that? Study to show yourself a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Study the word of God. Find yourself in church. Don't just go to church to where you hear the word of God. Go to church, be the church, be discipled, find somebody who can help you to grow in the word of God so that you know what God says, because there are three spiritual voices that speak. There is God's spirit. You always want to follow that. There is the devil and demonic spirits, and you never want to follow them. And then there's the human spirit. There are humans that speak, and it sounds like it's of God, but it's not of God. You've got to understand the word of God. There are too many people making decisions thinking that they are walking in obedience when really they are just obeying their flesh instead of the word of God. Understand the word of God. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. The peace that we have, it is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes because we abide in Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of God produces for us, in us, and through us a peace that he wants the world to see so that he can do the same for them that he has done for us. But do not be deceived. That peace does not eliminate the possibility of trials and tribulations. In fact, there is an assurance that God gives to the disciples here in John chapter 16. In this world, or in the world, you will have tribulation. Well, nobody likes trouble. I don't know about you, but I don't like trouble when I go to untie my shoe. And because of the way I tie my shoes, sometimes that happens. I don't like trouble when I go to drive a nail and the nail keeps bending because the wood is too hard, or the nail is not sharp enough or thick enough, or the aim of the hammer operator is slightly defective. I don't like trouble. I don't like car trouble. I don't like church trouble. I don't like home trouble. I don't like financial trouble. You name the type of trouble, and I don't like it. God says, in this world, this is a world. It's a troubled world. It's a troubled world. But he said, don't let that trouble prevail. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. You've got to remember, it says that in me, you may have peace. I have overcome the world. So if we are in Christ and he's overcome the world, then that means that he is going to cause us to overcome. The peace that he provides is greater than any trouble you can face. In John chapter 20, verse number 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The peace that God provides for you and I is a peace that will empower us to fulfill the Great Commission. If we know where we have come from, and we know who we are, and we know where we're going, and we know who is on the journey with us, and that he never fails, we are going to sense a great deal of empowerment and authority and holy boldness that the world has nothing to prevent it. Thank God for the peace that God provides for us. In Acts chapter 9, it says this in verse number 31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Okay? So it said that it was a geographical area, a substantial geographical area that had great peace. Saul had had his Damascus Road experience. And so the persecution from the church had died down. It says they had brought Saul to Caesarea and sent him on to Tarsus, and it was because of Saul's conversion that the peace of the churches began to manifest with greater intensity. Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And it was a peace that resulted in the churches being edified. Okay? Now, let me say this and get myself in trouble, okay? Peace and complacency are not the same thing. Too many of us are complacent and we are labeling it peace. God gives us peace that is going to cause us to be able to be edified. When Nehemiah was trying to build the wall, they were using a tool in one hand and they had a weapon in the other. Studies show that we are not nearly as effective at multitasking as we think that we are. The peace that God gives us is not so that we can be comfortable and not so that we can be complacent while people all around us are dying and going to hell. God gives us peace so that the church will be edified, that the men of the church will be edified, that the women of the church will be edified, that boys and girls will be edified. I tell you, I think that we, you know, we need to use the peace that God has given us to build one another up. And it said that peace also manifest in the way that they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And the result was they were multiplied. The peace that God provided when the persecution ceased led to the church being built up. It led to a group of people walking in reverential awe of God, and the Holy Spirit was there and ministering comfort because, listen, persecution is no fun. It's not. It's a reality because we live in a fallen world. But the Holy Spirit is, always has been, and will always be the comforter. And wherever persecution has arisen, the church has multiplied. It might not happen in a day. It might not happen in a week. It might not happen in a decade. But I tell you that in parts of the world where Christianity was banned and there was no opportunity to go in and check on the condition of the church, that when the doors were finally able to go in, they found the church not weaker but stronger. I have been in services, and I am not kidding when I say this, that Christians in persecuted regions have said this: if you Americans will provide us the resources, we will go into the hardest places and we will do the hard work because we understand what it is like to be persecuted. And whatever you do, do not pray for the persecution to stop, because it is that persecution that is leading to kingdom multiplication. You won't hear that very often in American pulpits. You see, I didn't like it when I was called a Jesus freak by a person that I was helping who was starving. He wanted me to fill his belly, but he didn't want to hear about the truth of God's word. So my wife and I split a hamburger. We bought him a hamburger, and then we got insulted for the process. God wants to give you peace today that changes the way you walk, changes the way you act, and it leads to kingdom increase. Not long after our hurricane outreach, I was talking to one of the men in our church who, listen, I am so blessed. Our church just gave. So they gave of themselves and more than they had to give, and worked themselves. And so right now we are in healing and recovery mode. But I had a person that told me this. He said, I worked harder than I've worked in a long time, but I feel stronger than I felt in a long, long time. You see, God gives us peace. God gives us peace. One more. In Romans chapter 2, it says, but glory and honor and peace to everyone, this is verse number 10, who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The peace of God is provided to you and I, not only so that we will be edified, not only so that we will have the way that we walk, not only so that it will cause us to be able to overcome tribulation, not only so that we'll have power and authority, but he gives us the peace of God to do good works. Let me talk to the employers out there just a moment. And that is this. I worked for a company one time, and what they wanted to do was instill fear in their employees. There was always a threat over their head. If you don't meet your quota, you're going to get fired. Okay? That was the way that they chose to do business. That is not the way to enhance productivity in your employees. I encourage you, don't do that. Instead, I pray that you would motivate your employees so that they have peace that they've never had before. I'm not talking about enabling them not to do the job. I'm talking about empowering them to do the job so that they know that as long as they are doing their job to the best of their ability, that the company is going to thrive and they are going to thrive, and that you are going to treat them with integrity. You're going to treat them well. You're going to treat them like the valued employees that they are. I encourage you to do this. At church, we want people to be involved and to do good works. Jesus gave us peace to know that he wasn't going to change his mind and said, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm going to take you out of childhood status and send you to hell. That's not what God does. That's not the way he operates at all. He says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I'm going to be actively involved with you in everything I call you to do. That gives us peace to be able to do the work that God has for us. That's the type of peace that you can have today. God bless you. I pray that you have a marvelous day, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.